Great. So I'd like us to use our imagination just to begin with and to think about something. If you could transform into anything, what would it be? Okay? Just think about that for a moment. Maybe it would be a character from a film or a comic book series that you loved when you were growing up. Maybe you'd transform into a beautiful butterfly. Maybe you'd transform into your favorite historical figure. Maybe you'd just long to be a slightly better person. Have a think about that for a moment and then hold that thought, as it will make sense a bit later as we come on to that topic. If you could transform into anything, what would it be? Well, because it's the first Sunday of 2024, it's a great time to be thinking about vision at the start of this new year. And right from when REC started in 2007, the church has always been about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. But we wanted to get that down on paper and make that clear why we exist and what we long to see God do, both now and long into the future. And so today as a church, we're launching our vision statement. Over the coming weeks, we'll be looking at different aspects of the REC ethos and which we're relaunching. And the idea behind that is to think and pray about becoming the church that God wants us to be biblically. So vision today. Some people right now inside are going, yes, I love vision. I'm excited. I love dreaming about the future and what it might look like. Others are perhaps going, oh man, can't we just get on with doing church? And to all those of you who like dreaming and thinking about the future, well, sometimes we need to think about the fact that it's only worthwhile if we then put it into practice and live it out. And for those of us who are perhaps wired more practically, we're all wired differently, but we need to remember the importance of pausing at times and prayerfully reflecting on what God has to say to us in his word and where things are at. So this morning's not just about us, this morning's not about us hearing some new revelation direct from heaven, but it's about us getting excited about the God who is making all things new. And it's a vision of the future that's already been revealed to us in God's word. So the REC vision statement is this: to see lives transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ in Roundtay, Leeds and beyond. To see lives transformed by the gospel. And I wonder, as we start this new year, is that something that you long for? Seeing people deciding to put their trust in Jesus. Seeing people to continue to grow in Jesus Christ and become more like him. Experiencing that transforming power of the gospel each day of your life, as we've just sung about, personally. Why was Roundhay Evangelical Church started 17 years ago, and why does it exist today? To see lives transformed by the gospel, and it's to the glory of God. So we have three points to consider this morning about this vision. The first is this: that people matter. People matter. We want to see lives transformed. People matter. Here's a picture of some people enjoying Roundhay Park on a sunny day. It's not too bad, the weather outside at the moment. But according to the 2021 census, there are around 24,000 people living in the Roundhay ward. 812,000 people living in Leeds, and over 8 billion people living on this planet. Don't know about you, but I just can't get my head around that number. It's just too big, isn't it, to think about. 24,000 in Roundhay, 812,000 in Leeds, and over 8 billion on the planet. And every single one of these people matters to God. We're not here by pure chance or cosmic accident. God made us in his image with purpose. We really do matter. People are precious to God. Human beings are creations, creatures by Almighty God. Human beings, Genesis tells us, completed God's creation. when he saw all that he'd made, he said, it's very good. And God created us to be good stewards of the world that he made. And he created us lovingly to enjoy the good gifts that he's given, as we enjoy the giver himself. And we're to enjoy creation as God intended it to be enjoyed, as we work, as we care, as we love. Giving and reflecting the praise back to God, the one who gave us life in the first place and created us uniquely from the rest of creation in his image. But if you know the Bible story, you know that the first human beings and every human being since Jesus accepted have all turned away from God. We thought that we knew better. We thought that we could find everlasting life and pleasure apart from God on our own. That's silly, isn't it, when we think about it? When we think of God being the source of all life and light and has blessed us immeasurably. But instead, we chose to go our own way, and our sin, the Bible tells us, separates us from God and has rightfully brought his anger upon us. Think about a father and their children. A father unmoved about the actions of his children would not be a loving father. As it is with God, he cares so much about the fact that we have made a mess of things. He cares that we've separated ourselves from God. And he's a God of perfect justice who cannot tolerate sin and rightly punishes sin. But here's the great news and what we're going to be focusing on this morning. The great story of God's goodness is found in the gospel. It's the story of his wonderful news, his wonderful rescue mission in sending his son Jesus into the world to die in our place on the cross, as we've just considered in communion this morning. Though we turned away and sought to live for ourselves, God loved us enough to pursue us and bring us out of the pit of spiritual death into new life in Christ. I was reflecting on this week and thinking about Jesus on earth and his compassion for human beings. When Jesus was on earth, he wept at the graveside of his friend Lazarus, even though he knew that he would be raised. People matter to God. When Jesus saw the state of the city of Jerusalem and its people, he wept. People matter to God. And in Matthew 9, we read that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. People matter immensely to God. Our great God of compassion really cares about a world that is dying. He really does care about those who are lost and don't know him. In fact, the Bible says, doesn't it, that Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save the lost. And God desires that no one should perish, but all come to repentance. And we read this in Peter's letter. So the question for us this morning is, do they matter to us? People matter to God. Do they matter to you? People should matter, right? Eternity is at stake. Time is short. The need is great in this world. We as a church have a particular heart and focus for Roundhay because that's where God has placed us. But we also care about our city, don't we? As a church family, we're living in different parts of the city. And God has placed us there uniquely to serve him and to love those around us there. But we also care about the world. That's why we show a real interest in our gospel partners in this country and overseas who are seeking to serve the Lord where God has placed them. These are turbulent times that we're living in. We keep hearing that, don't we? Or words to that effect. But for the grace of God, where would we be? As we think about the gospel and its urgency of the message, are we going to be people who help pull others up out of the deadly sea of spiritual apathy, spiritual blindness, and self-sufficiency? Pull them up into that gospel life raft, the only thing that can save people. people. So people matter. And secondly, let's think about gospel power, because this is where it's at. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." The Apostle Paul was eager to preach the gospel in Rome. And that is why he shares this urgency. He's not ashamed of the gospel. It's a gospel power that turns someone completely 180 degrees. They're going in one direction and it transforms them and turns them in another direction. It's a gospel power that transformed Paul's life. He knew a thing or two about dramatic conversions. Remember the road to Damascus, that blinding light, and he meets Jesus. God has a fantastic track record, if you open up the pages of the Bible, when it comes to transforming people's lives. Both Old and New Testament is full of people being transformed by his awesome power. From hell to heaven, from darkness to light, from lostness to being brought into God's family. And if you've become a Christian, whether it was a dramatic conversion or whether that was over time, it's the same gospel power that was at work within you in bringing you to faith. We can't do that alone. We can't suddenly summon up spiritual health and vitality in our life. It's faith in what Christ has already done for us. You know, in conversations you hear people, and some people think that Christianity is all about being moral or just becoming a slightly better person. More religious, perhaps. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is God's changing power to bring the spiritually dead alive in Christ. The Bible's clear about that, particularly in Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to look at that later. And he wants to totally transform people. God doesn't, you might be wondering, does God want me to just become one of his robots? No, he created you uniquely you. And maybe that's something in 2024 that you need to think about. Being comfortable in the skin that God's given you. Being uniquely you. Because he lovingly made you different from the person who's sitting next to you. But God wants to take us from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive in him. Maybe you've never recognized that before in your life. You think, I'm doing okay. I'm a fairly good person. Well, the Bible lovingly presents us the reality that without God, living for ourselves, we're separated from him. And that's not a good place at all to be in. It's a dangerous place to be in. Just as a fish can't survive without water, we weren't made to survive without God. And it's a gospel, Paul says, that we don't need to be ashamed of or shrink back from. Because it's the gospel that God's chosen to use to transform the lives of everyone who believes in it. And that gospel is a gospel all about God's Son, the person of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." People go looking for meaning and help in all kinds of different places. But the Bible tells us we can't be saved, we can't be brought into that right relationship with God outside of Jesus. Just won't happen. And this gospel is good news for all kinds of people. Jew and Gentile, Paul says, that's Jewish people and non-Jewish people. Young and old, different backgrounds, languages, skin colors, cultures. But it's only the gospel that saves and brings people that transformation into a life full of hope and peace and joy in Christ. So people matter. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And finally, there is a call to be transformed. Be transformed. The gospel is a gospel of grace. There's nothing we can do, as I mentioned, to earn our salvation. But we do have to respond to the free gift by believing, by taking hold of what Christ has done and leaning into it and trusting him. Have you done that yet, I wonder? At the beginning of a new year, it's a great time to consider what life is all about. Have I put my trust in Jesus? Has my life been changed, transformed? Paul, writing to the Corinthians about the love of Christ, says, "And he," that's Jesus, "died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." God wants us to live for Jesus, not for ourselves. Jesus died so that we'd do that 180 degree turnaround, that we'd repent of our sins. That means to change our mind and to turn around, to stop living for ourselves, that's the heart of sin, to turn to God and start living for Jesus. Why? Well, it says, because he died for us and he rose again for us. Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to put his hand up, take the blame for you, go to that cross, not just suffer the agony of physical death, but the spiritual separation from his Father in our place. And not only that, but rise again victoriously from the grave, giving us that sure and certain hope of new life in Jesus. Do you know that for yourself? If you have trusted Jesus, if you have been transformed, then we need to allow his resurrection power to work in our lives. He gives us the choice, doesn't he? We can be open to God's transforming work in our lives, or we can be closed to it. We can begin to harden our hearts and not listen to his word. Every true Christian has received a spiritual rebirth. You may have heard of the phrase being born again and thought, what's that all about? That's weird. Well, it's being having a new start, being born of the Spirit of God, being spiritually made alive in Christ. And if you've become a Christian, however you might feel about yourself, however you might feel about this new year, whatever worries might be on the horizon, whatever things are going through your mind, the Bible says that you are a new creation. You've been united with Christ. You are in him. The old has gone. The new has come. The new is here. And that's all God's work. We can't boast about it because it's God's power at work in us. He deserves the glory. But sometimes we can beat ourselves up, can't we? We can forget who we are in Christ. And perhaps you need to be reminded this morning of God's love for you, of his Father's heart for you, and of the transforming work that he's begun in you and will continue on into the future. Here's a picture of the frog life cycle. I'm sure you're familiar with it. I was going to go for a butterfly, but I think we've had butterfly analogies quite a bit between me and Gordon over the last couple of years. So here's a frog life cycle. I'm sure you're familiar with it, so I'm not going to go through it. But the word metamorphosis that you see there on the left of the page comes from the Greek word for transformation, metamorphosi. And the frog's transformation happens very quickly, usually 24 hours, it says, from a tadpole into a frog. But for the Christian, we've been changed. We've been transformed forever. When God first opened our blind eyes, when he first changed our heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, there's no going back. He's brought us up from the spiritual grave, from death to life. But we're also undergoing an ongoing transformation because we still live in a world of sin. We still fight a battle against temptation. We're still far from the intended destination of being made perfectly holy in God's sight. Though God looks at us that way now, we know that that's not yet the reality. But God is working in us to make us fit for heaven. Do you know that as the reality now? The in-between time between becoming a Christian and meeting Jesus face to face in glory. Paul picks up on that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we all who, with unveiled faces," that's anyone who's turned to the Lord, "contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That's something to get excited about, isn't it, this year? God's work within us, transforming us. We sung earlier, and the life that I now live no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. As we live each day, we have to humble ourselves. We have to recognize our own weaknesses and take them to God. We have to allow God to change us. But God promises that he is at work by his Spirit, continually conforming us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's making us more like Jesus. Now that's something worth celebrating. That's something worth getting excited about. That is the intended destination, to be more and more like Jesus. And so that means as we head into the new year, as Christians, we should be hopeful people. And I think that means, and I speak for myself, we need to put away the cynic in us and believe in God's power to transform lives. A film I like, Inception, from 2010. I don't know if anyone's seen it. Christopher Nolan film. It's about dreams within a dream. But there's a great line in it when Thomas Hardy's character says to another of the characters, "You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling." And I think in 2024, we mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, because we have a great big God who is at work continually. What would it look like for our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, our family members to come to know Jesus and be transformed themselves? What would it look like for local strangers to become friends, but most importantly, become friends of Jesus? Baptisms, we've not had one of those in a while, have we? What would it look like to pray about that? Let's ask the Lord for boldness, for opportunities to be more faithful in prayer this year by his grace. So what do we long to see more of? We long to see more lives transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ in Roundhay, Leeds and beyond. We want to pray to that end, and we want to play our part in living in light of the transforming gospel, knowing that all is in his hands and in his perfect timing. The challenge is, as we head into 2024, will we do it confidently in the Lord? Because he is in the business of transforming lives. And that starts with you, and that starts with me. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you so much for your transforming work in our lives. We want to thank you that not only did you lovingly create us and put breath in our lungs, but when we went astray, when we chose to love other things instead of you, you pursued us as a loving father, and you didn't hold back anything that would bring us back into relationship with you, not even your only son. And so we want to thank you this day for our salvation. We want to thank you for the gospel power at work that's changed our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you continue to do that transforming work in us as your people, your church, this year. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Well, our closing song contains these words. There is salvation in his word. His voice has called us from the grave. I will trust his promise. Let's sing, "Behold the Power of His Word."